fairy had recently been treated to a visit of the travelling shows, and the acrobatic stunts we'd witnessed inspired us lads to emulate some of the rope tricks of the professionals. The best spot we found to practice our gymnastics was at the old station beach, where the mooring ropes of the boats, attached to points on the embankment overhead, cut across just at our chest level. We were in the midst of all sorts of monkey-type exercises in our ready-made gymnasium, when a sudden cry rang out, "Look at that smoke! It's the aisle shed! The aisle shed's on fire!" We were startled to see across the bay great billows of black smoke surging up from the direction of Skinner's oil shed. All the amateur gymnasts promptly dropped from their ropes, streaked across the beach without a thought for the usual hazards to bare feet, broken glass, and sharp stones and rusty cans and the like, and arrived on the scene of the conflagration in record time. Sure enough, the oil shed was ablaze, and Willie Dalgleish, apprentice, instigator of the disaster, was to be seen hanging around sheepishly at the scene of the crime, face black with smoke, hair and eyebrows singed. Having been sent down to the shed to draw a gallon of paraffin for a customer, Willie had decided to indulge in a few quick puffs at a cigarette, after which he tossed the match down on the wet earth floor. Since the wetness of the floor happened to be spilled paraffin, the result was immediate and spectacular. Even more spectacular was the effect produced when Willie ill-advisedly attempted to douse the flames by throwing on yet more paraffin. With commendable promptness, the fairy women sprang into action. Armed with basins, jugs, ewers and pails, they quickly formed a human chain, beginning at the well in front of Penny's and ending as close as they dared to the blaze, the end product of their heroic efforts being a pitifully small splash of water flung from Mrs. Cram's pail into the fast-increasing conflagration. But help was at hand. The smoke, rising to the railway level of the bridge, had alerted the riveters and painters working there, and now a fourth bridge squad came dashing up the scene with all the verve and panache of the United States Cavalry, sweeping to the rescue of embattled pioneer wives in the movies many years later. Alas, despite such a magnificent arrival on the scene, the rescue squad now discovered that there really wasn't too much they could do. It was obvious that the fire should at least be contained and prevented from spreading to the adjoining dwelling house. And at this point, I thrilled to see my father take command of the situation. "Cut all connections," he shouted over the crackle of the flames. "Cut all connections," and set the example by climbing up a ladder and beginning to hack away with his axe at any part of the shed that touched the gable of the next house. Just as the connection-cutting operation was completed, the red pantile roof of the oil shed fell in with a tremendous crash. A renewed explosion of flames and sparks forced everyone to beat a hasty retreat, and in a matter of minutes the shed was gutted. The show was over. Slowly, people began to pick up their firefighting tools and trickled back to homes and jobs. Last to leave the scene was Mrs. Cram, who was observed to be running everywhere, searching among the ruins and lamenting, "Where's my wee pail? It was such a knacky wee pail. Where's my wee pail?" Thanks to an anonymous prankster, the knacky wee pail had long since been consumed in the great aisle shed conflagration.